Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
All right, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 58.
This episode's bits will talk about Letter Jam, Exizia, Shifting Sands, The Quest for El Dorado, and Escape Tales, The Awakening. We'll discuss our top 10 games with dice, or dice, baby, and get up to our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits. Hey, Michelle, how you doing?
Oh, you know, crazy times.
Nothing.
Going crazy. Actually, I'm not going that crazy. I think I was made for isolation.
Nothing has happened last time we were here talking about stuff.
Yeah. The world decided to have a pandemic.
Nothing important has happened.
No, not much.
But I'm being very, like, very, very to the point with people. I'm like, if you have the game Pandemic, you should throw it out or burn it.
Oh.
Or at the very least, just don't play it. We should not be tempting fate here.
I see. But maybe we learn how to fight. What if a scientist comes out one day and is like, you know, I didn't know how to deal with this virus. And then I played Pandemic and I was like, aha, I get it.
And you learned.
Because there's that the lab expansion, which is like super technical and scientific.
Oh, is it?
So,
I've never played it. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's actually, yeah, it's been many, many years since I've played it, but I remember liking it.
I have no plans to ever play it again.
Yeah, it's one of those games that I keep because it was the game that got me into the hobby, but I don't know. I don't know that I'll ever play it again. Maybe.
Hey,
probably if someone's like, oh my God, I'm getting into games and I've heard this game Pandemic's really great, then I'll be like, yeah, let's play it, but I don't see myself pulling it out anytime soon. So anyways, that's our banter.
Yeah, so just, you know, let's get on. Let's give people something good. I can't say that with a straight face. It's a good thing there's not a mirror here because I would have broken it.
Okay. Are you talking about our awesome sound effects?
Well, everything.
The whole kit and caboodle, the wholeness of all the bits.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think, right? Yeah.
Do we still have our code to talk about, or is that?
Oh, yeah, we could talk about it. Sure. So, despite everything closing, luckily for us, there are some board game stores that are still open online. And one of those is our wonderful sponsor, Board Game Bliss. And they have a code for all you wonderful bitsers. And it's ATB-TAKE5OFF100, which will take $5 off if your order is over 100.
What?
Pretty obvious. Pretty self-evident there. And it's one use per customer. Mm-hmm. So buy some games because it's a good time to play games.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? Ooh, does that mean you want to ask me a question?
I mean, I could.
Do you really?
Yeah, I could. It's pretty thematic for right now, which is usually your shtick.
I know. Well, it's going to be my shtick in a second. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you what you've been doing for gaming during this pandemic.
What rhymes with nothing?
Sloughing.
Sloughing, buffing. I've played with a friend, Quacks of Quedlinburg, a couple of times over Zoom. So like over video conference, which has worked really well. That is about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Any future plans?
No. I'm going to do an RPG like the day after tomorrow. Try running an RPG for a few people.
Cool.
We'll see how that goes over video conferencing. And then, yeah, no, there's not a ton where my wife doesn't really play games. And I've explored a little bit. I've done a little bit of gaming with Tabletop Simulator once. Mm-hmm. What? So I'm going to try and do a little bit of that and maybe a little bit of Board Game Arena. I'm really struggling, though, as it is with looking at a computer screen now that I'm doing work from home on a computer, and I don't deal well with that. So anytime I have free time, I don't necessarily want to be looking at a computer screen so much, but I might look into some of those glasses. I've heard there are glasses that can help you for looking at computer screens.
Okay. Something with like the light, the blue light, or whatever. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard you can get them or make them or something. So I might look into that because I think I'm going to still. Yeah, I want to be a Tabletop Simulator seems really cool. So I really want to be able to delve more into it. It's really neat. And I spent the money on it. So I want to make sure I use it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Michelle, I have a question for you.
Oh, boy. Is it the same question?
Just about the same question. So how's your gaming been going lately?
Well, not as frequently, obviously, because we're basically in self-isolation or physical distancing. So no gaming with friends really, which is unfortunate, but I play a lot of solo games. So I still have been playing games, just, not quite as much because I also have my daughter home 100% of the time and I'm still trying to work. So I'm pretty tired at night. But yeah. No, I've played some solo games. My husband, who usually won't game with me, offered Arkham Horror, so we played that the other night. And tomorrow I'm going to try, we're going to try Azul on Tabletop Simulator. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know, maybe I'll love it. I'll see. I really prefer touching bits.
Especially Azul.
Huh?
Especially Azul. Sorry, I'm drinking beer as I'm talking. Especially Azul.
I know. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it's nice. Like, it'll be a good chance to just connect with people. And, you know, games are still fun that way. But, yeah, I'm still very much about physically playing a game, like touching it and whatnot. So, anyways, it's been okay.
I think Tabletop Simulator is really, it's really cool. It's really neat. I can't imagine how long it takes people to make those things and do the things they do in there. Because apparently you can get, like, apparently the campaign of, like, Gloomhaven is amazing on there. And Kingdom Death Monster, you could play, like, the whole thing and do it. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. When it first came out, I played around with it, but I haven't since. So I don't know what improvements they've made. Or what it looks and feels like. So I'll have to check it out. That'll be tomorrow.
Well, we'll have to figure out. You'll have to let us know how it goes.
I tried On Mars.
On Tabletop Simulator?
Lacerda. No. Oh, just okay. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, I'll play it solo. So I like spent pretty much the whole day like setting it up, you know, because I was with my daughter. So like you do a little bit here and there. Setting it up and reading the rule book. And then I start playing and it was like the solo was like, oh my God, it was another rule book. It felt like, and it was all these like if cases. And I was just like, and I'm done. There's not many games I've walked away from. I will definitely go back to it. But I was like, I was like an hour in and I was like, I'm not having fun right now. So
oh dear.
I packed it away. That was my,
you didn't just leave it out.
No, I did not. No, I was like, I don't. I just want to walk away from this and come back. Because if it was out there, it'd be like nagging me with guilt. Like, play me, come on. And no. So this way it was like, we'll have a clean, fresh start when I'm mentally ready to do so. anyway, so there you go. There's my Lacerda experience.
On so that far. Note.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a segue whatsoever.
None of our segues are ever segues, so I don't know why you're questioning it now.
This is true. All right.
Do.
No, I'm nowhere. Do. I'm not here at all. I'm not here.
Okay.
I'm nowhere with the thing, with the rhythm for this.
Again, no different than before.
No, this is true.
This is true. Yeah. So that is that is our guess the game bit, sound bit, bit.
Bit thing it, where we give each other clues and try and get each other to guess games.
Yep. That's the deal.
Yep.
All right. You give me clues first.
All right. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
I feel like one of us might have done this before, but I apologize.
Well, my memory spans approximately 2 hours, so I don't think we need to worry too much about that.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This game came out in the year 2018.
Ooh.
It's got an 8.6 overall rating on BGG.
Wingspan.
No.
2018?
It plays in 60 to 120 minutes. That's generous, BGG. It plays 2 to 4 players and has a weight of 3.92.
It's not on Mars.
No.
So it's heavy. You think it's long. And it came out
I feel like that. Maybe, I don't know. I feel like that's being generous time-wise, at least in my experience with this game, but...
Okay. Keep going.
I'm not going to give you designers yet or publishers. Category: economic, industry / manufacturing, and transportation.
Transportation. It's not pipeline?
No.
I don't think pipeline does transportation, but.
A lot of mechanics in it. Sorry. I'm like, oh, plus 4 more mechanics. Okay. Let's see. Mechanics. Feel free to jump in whenever if you think any of these gives it to you.
Okay.
Connections. Hand management. Income. Loans. Market.
Is it brass? Brass Birmingham? Yes. Brass Lancashire?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Yay!
Very good.
I did it. Wow, it's got great ratings.
Well, it's the number 4 overall rank on BGG.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow. Way to go, Roxley. Yeah. That's awesome. I do enjoy that game.
It is a good game, but I feel like I've never played it in that amount of time. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm sure there are people who are really awesome at it and can get through that fast, but I haven't.
Yeah, it's definitely a longer play. All right, are you ready for yours? This actually surprised me how old it is. Okay, 2016, which I get isn't like super old, but I thought it was not that old. Okay, 2016, 8.2 with 23,000 ratings.
Wow.
It plays 1 to 2 players in 60 to 120 minutes.
Okay.
And has a weight of 3.37.
1 to 2 players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not whatchamacallit, that game we hate, right? Because that would be way older.
What's the game that we hate?
With the Russians and the Americans.
Oh, Twilight Struggle.
Yeah, it's not that one, right?
No.
1 to 2 players. Oh my gosh, what is my cat doing? Okay, 1 to 2 players. I don't know. Keep going.
Okay. I will give you some mechanisms. We've got variable player powers, role playing, hand management, deck bag and pool building, cooperative.
Oh, Fields of Arl.
No.
No. Cooperative.
Good guess, though. I wonder, when did Fields? I think Fields is older than that. Yeah, cooperative. And it has the last one mechanism is action points.
1 to 2 players. It's relatively heavy and cooperative.
That weight really surprises me.
But 2 players maximum.
Yeah, 1 to 2, best at 2.
1 to 2, then not.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to give you some categories.
Okay.
Adventure, card game, collectible components, fantasy, horror, novel-based.
It's not fantasy, horror, novel-based. It's not Kingdom Death Monster. That wouldn't be novel-based. Novel-based. So, like, it comes from a novel, or it's like...
Yeah.
It comes from a novel.
Yeah.
Should I know this?
You, well, yeah, I feel like you're getting in your head right now. Yeah, it's a big mythos in the board game universe.
Oh, so something Cthulhu related.
There you go.
Uh-huh. 1 to 2 players.
1 to 2, yeah. It's a living card game.
Arkham Horror the card game.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding.
It only plays up to 2 players. I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. I think that you can buy another base set. No, that's... I don't know. It says 1 to 2 players. I was thinking you could buy another base set and play up to 4, but now I'm thinking that's actually so that 2 players can share some of the cards.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there you go.
I never play it. They have 2 sets of it. I've never played it yet.
I played it and then decided, nah. There are things I liked about it, but nah.
Nah.
Alrighty. All right. What's the next terrible sound effect?
Pew. Pew.
Sorry, what was that?
Pew.
Was that a pew?
A pew.
A pew, pew, pew?
Pew, 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 pew,
pew,
pew.
This
is our pew.
Yeah.
Pew
it's always so awkward.
This is where we're going to talk about some games that we've been playing recently-ish, question.
Yeah. I'm like, do I remember these plays? Yes, I do.
And we do have a five step point rating scale here. Michelle, would you like to share it?
I would love to.
It's very nice.
So one is that would be a hard no. I don't have we rated anything a one yet?
I don't think so. I feel like it'll have to be something that really surprises me that like there's no way this is a hard like a one, like a hard no, because I generally don't play stuff that I. You know what I mean? That like,
yeah. It's not like we're drowning in review copies.
This is true.
You know, so most of the games we try, we buy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So there you go. That was our one.
That was our one.
2 is meh.
I don't know if we've done a 2 either. Have we?
I think I've done a 2.
Because you're a horrible person. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. 3 is, I mean, it's fine. Which is actually, fine is fine. You know?
Fine is a healthy majority of the games in the board gaming hobby.
Yes.
A lot of that.
4 is tis a gooder. Mm-hmm. And 5, it's got the spark. Dingle, dingle, dingle. We really should get a sparkle sound effect. But that would probably sound too professional.
It would.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, who's going first here? Who's going to pew-pew first?
All right, I'll pew-pew with my Aegisia Shifting Sands.
Okay. I'm going to practice the names while you're talking about this, the names on my first pew-pew to actually say them. But I'm listening.
Great idea. All right, so... this was published, I would say republished 2019. That's what BGG is saying, but I'm looking at the new one, which is Shifting Sands, which came out on Kickstarter and has an updated version. So that's the one I'm talking about. Came out in 2019. Current rating of 7.8 with 387 ratings. It plays 2 to 4 players in 90 minutes and has a weight of 2.71. It's designed by Aki Toka, Flaminia Bersini, Virginio Gigli, Stefano Luperto, and Antonio Tinto. And art is by William Bricker and published by Stronghold Games. This is a Euro game because most of the things I play are Euros, let's be honest. And the main mechanisms are card drafting, time track, and worker placement. So you have some boats. And the board is, picture a river going from the top down to the bottom with a number of spots on the left and the right of it. Mm-hmm. On one side, you have building spots, and on the other side, you have spots for cards. And on your turn, you're simply taking a boat, and if you place it on a card, you take the card. And if you place it on the building spot, then at the end of the round, when you go through all the building spots, you get to build.
Mm-hmm.
The trick, however, is that you cannot go back up the river. So if you choose something, it's kind of almost like a rondel in a sense in that way. Mm. But if you choose something very low down on the river, you're probably going to hate yourself very quickly because you cannot go backwards and you're going to watch everybody take all the things and you're not going to be able to do anything. So that's, to me, that's the real crux of the game is that whole like tough decisions. There's not a lot to go for, you know, and, you know, are you going to skip ahead and grab that thing? Or are you going to push it and wait to see that sort of thing? Mm. So the building, like the buildings are, you're basically spending resources, and there's a few different areas where you can build buildings, and they give you points. Some give you special abilities. Some allow you to move up on tracks, which will give you end game points and some bonuses throughout the game. The cards allow you to increase your ability to build. So you have these civilizations, I think they are. And they're like, they're on a scale basically. And mm-hmm. so you can make them more powerful, and the more powerful they are, the better you'll be at building. You can get resources. There's a phase where you get resources. You also have to pay, you have to feed your people.
Horrible.
And, yeah. And, and then there's like, there's end game scoring and, getting more resources during the different phases and things like, and a few, like, I think a few, like one time effect type of cards. I think that's all of them. So that's basically the game. You know, you're going down the river. Once everybody passes, you do your building, you feed your people, you get stuff like over and over basically. And I think there's like four or five rounds. Let's see what I thought about this game way back when. So the bits are nice. They're fine. There's nothing really special about them. I do have the Kickstarter version, which I don't think is necessarily worth it. The Kickstarter version has the old version on the back of the board. Whereas the retail just has a 2-player side and a 3 and 4-player side. And I'd actually rather have that because the Kickstarter, you have to put overlays for the 2-player, and I just don't see myself playing in it like the old version. But the board has, I don't know what it's called, that like, is it UV printing where it's a little bit shiny and it kind of pops, the color pops. It has a little bit of that. You know, the cards are fine quality. You have the wooden boats, but really, I mean, there's nothing spectacular. You're not going to be buying this game for the bits or the art, but they're still good for what they are.
I do like how they use, you know, a nice little splash of color in it to make it like less drab and beige.
Yes, it does look nice. It definitely does. It does help. Yes. This game is kind of beige, hey?
It's very beige, but then it helps with like the river and then the, you know, different colors of the cards and stuff. So, you know, it's not, you've played more beige.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 5, this is like a 3 beige, basically. Okay. Anyways, so like I said before, what I really like about this game is that it does feel quite tight. It feels tight. There's limited space. You know, the games I play 2 and 4, especially at 4, you're just, it does scale well down to 2, but it's just like, you're like chances are if you want something, you're not going to be able to get it the next round. So mm-hmm. you kind of have to grab it, or, you know, so you're making decisions around that. And it's nice. It's good. You know, there's a little bit of press your luck with that as well, which I enjoy. What you're doing itself, I didn't find super interesting. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you're moving up a few tracks and gathering resources so that you can build to get points. You know, there's nothing original there, but just how you're doing it, moving down that river, making those decisions, to me, that's really where the best quality or qualities of the game comes out. And I also thought, like, the weight is 2.71, so it's not a very heavy game, but it's still a 90-minute playtime. It doesn't feel long. Like, it didn't feel like it overstayed its welcome, but it, you know, for if I'm going to sit down and play a 90-minute experience, I might want something a little bit heavier, you know, like when you're going to invest that kind of time. That's a little bit nitpicky, but, you know, in a sense, it felt a little long for what it was in terms of weight. But yeah, I really liked this game. It was just, I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew it was an older design. But I really, really liked just that river mechanism enough to give it a 4.
Which, wow.
Yeah, 'tis a gooder. Yeah, it's weird. It's like the theme doesn't excite me that much. And like I said, what you're doing doesn't excite me that much. But like when I'm playing it, I'm just like, man, this is good. Like, yeah, there's some good, tough decisions. So, yeah, I think it's good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually interested in playing this one.
Yeah.
Some point in the future.
I think you would like it.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. My first
pew 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 here is Letter Jam from Czech Games Edition. And I'm just going to go with the designer. There's not really a ton of art, so I'll need to say all the artist names, which I can't pronounce. So I will try and say the artist name, the designer's name, though. Andra Skupi is my best game, and this is a 2019 release, as I may or may not have mentioned, plays 2 to 6 players in about 45 minutes and has a weight of 2. So those of you might remember, one of my big regrets from my Gen Con experience this year was I did not get a chance to pick up Letter Jam, as they were sold out relatively quick, and I had just a heck of a time actually purchasing it here, to the point that I had to borrow it from a friend to be able to finally play it, and I've since played it a number of times. What this is, think of kind of something like Hanabi, so a game where like you don't know what you have in your hand, and other people are trying to give you clues to do it, except this is a word version of that. So what you are doing at the start of the game, basically what you're getting dealt X number of cards, I don't remember offhand what it is, and you have to make a 4 or 5 letter word out of those cards, and then you pass that word to the person on your left or right, whichever direction you're going in. They don't get to look at it, they just lay the cards face down in front of them. And then what you're going to do is everyone's going to stand up a letter so that they can't see the letter that they stand up, going from left to right. So you stand up your first card on your left, everyone else can see it except you. And then what you're going to do is you're kind of going to, this is a cooperative game. So everyone's going to kind of discuss, oh, I can give a clue that's going to help 3 people. You can't say like what letter is or anything, but you can say, I'm going to give a clue that's going to help 3 people, whatever. So whoever, as a team, you decide, okay, this is the person's clue I want to get. I want them to give the clue. And then they're going to take a number of poker chips. So if let's say they said my word's going to help 3 people with 5 letters, you take poker chips that the game gives you, they're numbered 1 to 5, and you spread them out based on the people you're going to help in order that they go in the word. So let's say if your word is homes, and people have an H, an O, an M, an E, and an S standing up, you go and you put it there, and then everyone marks down, and you kind of have to, if you're a person who has a poker chip, you would put a question mark on your letter, because you don't know what that is, and you have to try and figure out what it is. Once you think you know what it is, you lie that letter back down, and you put your next letter up. And you're doing this a number of times. There's some, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. There are some extra rules in this game that I'm like, meh, you don't need to bother with. But that kind of keep track of the amount of clues that you do. There's a whole flower dealio thing. But in the end, basically what you're trying to do is everyone is trying to guess their word that they have in front of them. Although the rules of the game specifically say you're trying to guess a word, not necessarily your word, because there is a wild, which is just a card in the center of the table that has an asterisk on it, and you can use that as a wild. So at the end of the game, if let's say there's one letter you don't know, but let's say you know 4 letters, you can actually just use a wild card to make another word. Doesn't necessarily have to be your word. And then there's some scoring stuff. But again, in my opinion, this is the type of game you would never really want to score. You just want to kind of have fun with it. And if you look at it like that, it's definitely a really enjoyable experience. The components are really nice. Card quality, card stock is really top notch. Again, there's not a ton of art here. There's some lettering, like the letter jam is really nice. There's a strawberry on the box. There are these flower things. It comes with nice poker chips, though, which is really nice. They're very reminiscent of Splendor. It's just like Splendor, Michelle. they give you a stack of those papers that you can write down your letters for. In terms of a game, it's really enjoyable. Like, I played it. This is one of the few games my wife actually asked to play, which automatically gets a thumbs up for me. At two players, you have to use a bunch of kind of NPCs, non-player characters. So you stand up the letters, and every time you use one of them, you replace it with another one type deal. But I've also played it at five and six and enjoyed it each time. It runs a little long, I will say that, for what it is. I wish it didn't run that long. I guess if you use like four-letter words instead of five-letter words, you can kind of get away with it going a little faster, but just following kind of what the book says. And I've seen some other people complain that it runs a little long. I think there's like some clunky things in the rules, which kind of get in the way. But if you take it for what it is, where it's just something, it's just a fun party game where you're just playing with words and trying to get people to guess and trying to guess your word based on imperfect information, not having information, I think it's a really good experience, and definitely tis a gooder for me, Michelle. Tis a gooder. But I will say that, yes, I could see, this is the type of game that should have a spark for me. And I think the reason it doesn't is just because I feel like, again, there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily needed in the rules that I think you could probably get away with making a quicker experience.
Maybe they'll come out with an updated version, a deluxe version that's $120 on Kickstarter.
With
real strawberries.
Real strawberries. Ew, that would be like really bad my type of chips to you.
Gross.
Anyway, that's Letter Jam from Jack Games Edition.
Cool. My next pew-pew is Escape Tales The Awakening, which came out in 2018, has current rating of 7.4 with 1.2 thousand ratings on BGG, plays 1 to 4 in 180 to 300 minutes, and has a weight of 2.2. It's designed by Jakub Kaban, Matt Dembek, and Bartosz Idzikowski. Oh my god, okay. Art by Jakub Fatjanowski, Magdalene Klepetz, and Paweł Nizielek. Published by Board and Dice, and I apologize. I did my best with those names. So this is a story-driven escape room. Very similar to all the other escape rooms that are out there. So I would put this in the same category as Unlock and Exit and Deckscape. And yeah, all of those. It's obviously a bit longer of an experience because, as you heard, it plays in 180 to 300 minutes. Mm. And it's got more narrative than the exits and unlocks and whatnot. So the way this game works is there's lots of narrative, and you're presented with cards that are the rooms that you're exploring, and there's a bunch of numbers in the room, and you're given X number of action discs. And some actions that you take in the room might give you additional action discs. So you are limited in terms of what you can do. And when you go to a spot, you place a disc using your action, right? So you place a disc, one of your action discs, and then you read an entry in the narrative book. And yeah, you're trying to solve puzzles. You're exploring the story, basically. And that's all I'll say. The 180 to 300 minute time is accurate, but it's built and designed in such a way that you can easily leave the experience and come back to it. Okay. So it's not, yeah, it's not like they force you to go through it in one sitting. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the game. There's the narrative entries. There is an app, and there are also cards, like a deck of cards, very similar to what you would have in the other games, where there's symbols for different puzzles and whatnot and that sort of thing. So bits, they're exactly what you would expect. It's got beautiful art. The rooms are on like tarot sized cards, and you put two tarot sized cards side by side, which is really, I find the artwork quite immersive. It's more on the realistic side of things, and it's quite beautiful. The cards are what you would expect. Like, it's just basically a card game with a bit of a board. The action discs are wooden, which I actually really appreciated, because there's not a lot of tactile anything in this game. It was just kind of nice to like have these little chunky wooden discs to move things around, and they could have easily been cheap cardboard. So, you know, it's not a big deal, but it was nice for me. In terms of the narrative, I enjoyed it. It was kind of a dark story. So some people might find it depressing or even triggering. So warning for that, read the BGG description and see if it would be something for you. And I mean, like with all of these, I find, you know, they say, oh, it's a narrative game, but I mean, you know, the narrative's kind of, it's like, it's okay, right? I mean, you can only have, in my opinion, and from what I've seen, you know, only so much narrative to make a story flow. So, I mean, it works. I was happy with it. It was enough for me to have an engrossing experience. But I do know a lot of people have high expectations when it comes to narrative. And if you are one of those people, I would not say that this game is going to meet your expectations. Okay. But it's not, like, it's more than just flavor text, though, for sure. There's a few moments that I really liked. They have like kind of a choose your own adventure branching. So you might like talk to somebody, for example, and then they'll give you like two different options. And depending on what you go or what you choose, you're going to go to a different place in the book. And what I would assume is that you would follow a different branch. And I have heard this is replayable because there are different branches that you can follow. And of course, because you're limited by the actions, you are not going to explore everything in a room. Which is kind of leads me into the next thing, which was kind of annoying in a sense, was that I didn't feel like the puzzle, and maybe it was me, but I didn't feel like the puzzle or the narrative was cohesive enough for me to know what to do with my action discs. Sometimes it felt kind of hit or miss.
Okay.
So you're like, okay, so I'll just like, I'll try this, and if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, and they say, you know, there's clues elsewhere and, you know, and whatnot. So, I mean, like I said, maybe I missed it, but I did feel like it was a little bit random in that sense. Like you're just kind of fumbling through the dark and hoping for the best. So that was a big miss for me. I mean, it would have been really cool if you could have this like, oh yeah, like I only have three action discs and I knew I needed to check out that refrigerator. And no, this is not a spoiler. There are no refrigerators. I needed to check out the refrigerator because that clown told me he liked bananas or what, I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like there's none of that. So that was a bit of a miss for me. There's a good hint system. It'll tell you, what I really liked is it'll actually tell you how many cards you need. It's like Exit, where you might be presented with a puzzle, but you might not have everything you need for that puzzle until later. And they do tell you about that in the rule book. But if you're like, I think I should be solving this puzzle, you can just see like, oh no, I need three cards. So that's nice. Like, I like hints where there's enough to keep you moving through before getting super frustrated. But it's not like either super vague or just super obvious, you know? So I thought that their hint system was quite good.
Nice.
The puzzles were pretty easy. There are a few tougher ones, but I would say they're kind of akin to Exit. I know I've been talking about this a lot. At the end of the day, I think it's long, and I enjoyed my experience. I have the second one. I will play it, but I feel like you can find another game that's cheaper and quicker and have the same experience. So like if you're looking for narrative, there's the adventure games that Cosmos came out with. If you're looking for more of the puzzle types, you know, in an hour you can do an exit. I mean, if you're like really into these games, you know, maybe, but I just feel like other games fill this niche a little bit better. So okay. I unfortunately am giving this game a 2. Meh. Yeah. A lot that I wanted to like, but at the end of the day, there's just cheaper, better ways to get the same feeling. So there you go.
Alrighty. All right. My next a game I don't know what
Sorry. Sorry, getting a little bored over here. Okay.
I know, because this game is like so old and everyone's probably played it. I don't know what took me so long. That is The Quest for El Dorado from Ravensburger Games, designed by Reiner Knizia with art by Vincent Dutre and Franz Volwinkel. No, I'll explain why it says Vincent Dutre down here, I think, after. It's a 2-4 player game, plays in 30-60 minutes and has a weight of 1.96. So this is this game's been out for a while. I think it was a Spiel nominee as well. So I just don't know what took me so long to actually play it. But this is basically a race game with deck building as your way to move across the board. And you're trying to get your character to move from the start to the end to beat your whoever else you're playing with. Try and beat them to the end. And you're doing it by playing cards. And you can do basically one of three things, from what I recall. So this was a game I played like a month ago, so I apologize. Have you played this, Michelle?
I have, yeah.
Jump in if I need help here.
It's been a while. I sold it a few years ago. So
basically you have three cards. You have three different functions that the cards do. I think there's one is kind of that you use for gold or to buy new cards, better cards, or move on to like a gold color space. The other one is swathing through the jungle. So green that you use to move through the jungle. Then there's orange blue that you use for water to get through water. And you're playing these cards. You have four cards. You're always going to draw back up to four cards. You don't have to play all your cards, but there are a lot better cards on top. There's a row at the And what I like about the deck building mechanic is you have a row that you can access right away. And then as soon as one slot in the row of cards is finished, another deck of cards comes down and to take its space. So then they can be accessed by everyone. And what's neat is the first person who kind of goes to buy something when there's an empty slot gets to choose which deck of cards they buy from. And that new card comes out. So that's a neat mechanic for a deck builder. That's pretty much it. It's super light. You are basically just moving across the board. There's different, it's modular. So there's like different puzzle pieces, way to construct the board, which is neat. That's all you're kind of doing. It goes really quick. It's a super quick game. I like the use of deck builders. We've talked about this before. When games use deck building for something different. Component wise, I like the board is modular, so you can mess it up, mess things around with it. It doesn't have to be just one static way to do it. My big problem with this game is a huge problem, and it sounded like they were on their way to fixing it, is the cards are so small. I had a huge issue with that. They're like the little mini euro size cards, which again, for a game where you don't need to access the cards constantly, is okay, but actually my hand was cramping by the end of a game that plays really quickly because they're so small.
Made that choice because I found this game took up a lot of table space because you have all those individual decks out.
You do, yes. However, that being said, so I think the reason Vincent Dutre here, the plan was to introduce a new version with normal size cards with Vincent Dutre art.
I'm seeing that, yeah, in BGG. Yeah.
And it looks really nice, like the cover, it looks like it's Vincent Dutre art. So that's why his name is on here, but I think that's kind of up in the air now because of life. So I think like the reason I didn't go out and buy this game right away was because I saw that and I was like, okay, I'm just going to wait on and hopefully at some point it comes out. Cause I think I would get annoyed with the cards because Again, it is, while it is a race game, it's just as equally a deck building game. Like you need to do deck building for everything. You have to access your cards and you know, I just don't like the little cards. So that kind of knocks the game down for me a lot. Like to the point, like I think it would have been a gooder, but I'm gonna say it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
For now. If the Vincent Dutre one ever comes out, I think I will get upgraded. If you ask me this time next year and that copies out, I have a feeling I would upgrade it. But I think the cards really kind of knock it down for me a little bit.
That's fair. I have teeny tiny hands, so I think I'm lucky that way. Cards don't bug me as much.
Big monstrous man hands like I do.
That's right. Yeah, this is one of those games that sometimes I regret selling, because I thought it was neat. Like it was neat for what it was. It was just kind of fun and light and easy breezy. And yeah, I think what bugged me was having all those decks out and like how much setup it was.
I agree. I didn't have to set it up, which helped for a game that's like 45 minutes. There's a lot you have to do to just play it up. Yes, I agree with that for sure.
And I've heard the expansions are quite good.
Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah.
Oh man, there's pictures of the Dutre cards. They look so good.
I know, it's really nice. I saw it. And I was like,
whoa. Yeah. Did you know Reiner Knizia designed this without ever playing a deck builder?
I'm not surprised because he's a very smart man.
Yeah, he heard about deck building, and I've heard that he is like one of those people who wants to be completely original. So he doesn't want to get like his ideas are, I guess, tainted by other people's ideas. So he designed this game, understanding the concept behind deck building, but without ever playing a deck builder, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That's ridiculous and amazing.
Yeah. I think the same as his new Legacy game coming out is the same idea. The
awesome.
City or whatever. Yeah. All right. You feeling hungry for some hot topic?
Hot topic. I am starving.
Boom.
Board game discussion.
dice, baby. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Michelle, I probably should have asked you this.
What?
Now, are these... We're about to talk about do a top 10 list. And it shows how on the ball we are with everything and how on the ball we are with planning stuff. I didn't bother to discuss this now. Are we talking about our top 10 dice game or our top 10 games with dice?
Just dice.
Okay, good. Okay, fine. Okay, that's fine. All right. I did more of my top 10, like, yeah, dice from games. Nothing to do with the actual game, but just
me too.
Dice. Okay.
Look at us. We don't need to plan because we're on the same page.
Haha, yeah.
Boom. Nailed it. All right. This number 10 is kind of a weird choice, and I can't really explain myself, but my number 10 is Signori. And they're just normal dice with the numbers printed, which I actually like, instead of pips.
Okay.
And they have really good colors. There's like teal and purple. And I don't know why, but every time I play that game, those dice make me happy. So this had to be on the list.
Nice.
That's cool. It. My number 10, Signori.
Not even familiar with us.
Oh, it's such a good game.
However, similarly to you, my number 10 has, there's nothing special about the dice. I don't think so. Maybe there are. I can't remember. But I'm going strictly for quantity over quality here. And that is the dice from Steampunk Rally.
Yeah, and nice.
Just because you get so many of them.
Mm-hmm. When my daughter was going through her like dumping phase, you know, when they're toddlers and they just like to dump everything, that was a game that came off the shelf a lot. She just liked to take all the dice and dump them.
Sounds so good, and it's just that's the reason, because there's so many in there.
Good choice. My number 9 is a little cliche, but it's King of Tokyo. Not a fan of the game. I would play it, but I sold my copy. But those dice are pretty great. They're big and they're chunky. They're engraved. And they're just a lot of fun to play with. So there
that
you go.
A very good choice.
Thank you so much.
All right. My number nine is they're small. I usually gravitate towards the bigger dice, but I like custom dice and dice that are just different. So that's why I'm picking these. And I guess it's slightly a cheat, but it's not. And that's Dice Masters. I'm saying it's slightly a cheat because Dice Masters, and I'll throw Choreos in there too, because I guess they're similar, although I don't have any experience with Choreos, to be honest, but I think they're similar. You have different dice for like every character and different kinds of dice. There's so many different kinds that are all different and all unique. My only problem with it is that they're a bit small. But there's tons and tons of custom dice that you can get. And unfortunately, because it is, although now they do box sets, but because it is kind of like that CCG collectible type thing, that's the annoying part with it. But the dice are still really cool and really awesome. And they're part of the board game the hobby. So I'll say Dice Master / Choreos.
Nice. My number eight is the exact same reasons that you stated. So it's Pandemic the Cure plus expansion. Mm-hmm. So this is the dice version of Pandemic, which I actually quite enjoy. And there's just, there's a lot of dice. They're fun colors and they're all custom. So that's awesome. And the icons are really nice, like little needles and, you know.
They are really, that was on my short list, but I didn't want to pick anything Pandemic. So, all right. Where'd my page go? My number seven? Is that what we're doing now? Seven?
I think you're on eight.
I'm on eight. Okay, my number eight is, again, I'll throw two in here just because they're very similar, but Champion / Reavers of Midgard. Mm. Again, custom dice. They're normal size dice, which is nice. And they have from what I recall with Champions, and I just punching Reavers not long ago, but Champions are really like, they have a nice indent to them, they feel really good, they just feel really good. And again, I really like the way they look. They really have a nice feel of the game with them. They're not just nice dice for the sake of nice dice. So Champions / Reavers of Midgard, my
nice
eight.
I can't think of those dice. I've played Champions once, but
yeah, they're like yellow and red and black and blue and the different you have like the horn and the axes and the arrows and those things in them.
Yep It's all coming back to me now.
It's all coming back.
No, sorry, I tried
to sing.
You know what, actually I do enjoy your singing. All right, my number seven is Nagaraja.
I forgot about that. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it's a good pick. So this is I think it's Bruno Catala that did this one. It's a two-player game, and the dice are these long sticks with dots or also pips or like curvy lines. And they're fun. It's just kind of cool to play a game that doesn't have your typical die shapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. That would have been on my list. Those are really neat.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. All right, my number seven is... And I feel like some people actually don't like these dice, but I think it just fits with the aesthetic of the game, so I'm putting them on here, is Wingspan. Wingspan has a nice, like, they're really light, they're wooden, I don't know if they're fake wood or actual wood, whatever they are, but they have, they're really light, though. That's kind of... That's the only knock I have against them, but that's what you expect with wood dice. And I don't know how they'll stand up long term with the symbols on them, like in a couple of years from now. But I think they fit the aesthetic of the game so nice that I want to put them on here because I do enjoy them.
Yeah, they are good. I did consider those. My number six is Waggle Dance, one of the first games. I think, it was for sure my first 6 months of gaming, and I bought the game because of the cover. I still just adore that cover. But the dice, they're tiny, but they are honeycombs. So Waggle Dance is, a dance that bees do, and all the pips are honeycombs, and then the ones are bees. And they're also very brightly colored. There's orange and yellow and teal, and I can't remember the other color. So very just vibrant and fun, and they're great. They're just great. Love them. Waggle Dance.
I've seen those. They're really neat. All right, my number
six.
I'm really having trouble with this. My number six is Dice Throne, the dice from Dice Throne. Again, really nice chunky dice. They feel they're not bigger, but there's so many of them, so I really like them. What I like about the Dice Throne ones is they have two pieces of information, so they have whatever the icon is for your character as well as a number on them, so I really like that as well. And they're just, yeah, a bunch of custom dice. So anything that has a bunch of custom dice, I'm totally going to be into. And that's why I enjoy Dice Throne.
Totes. All right. My number five is Quantum. So I think this game is out of print now. And I did sell my copy, which I kind of regret. But this was a very cool game with these huge, chunky, slightly translucent but also matted dice. And very much an abstract game, and based on the number on the die, they were spaceships, and that dictated how they could be moved. But it was so, like, they were so big and chunky, and it was just so nice to be able to move them around, and then you did get to roll them every once in a while, so that was pretty great too. They're really nice. Quantum. Nice. My number five.
Cool. My number five is Tiny Epic Western. And this is, I will freely admit, this is totally just a gimmick. I think, I don't know 100% they're from the Kickstarter, from the regular, but the D6s are bullet shaped. So they're in the shape of a bullet. So they're sided. So actually kind of similar to what you mentioned from Nagaraja. I have some of these I don't have the game just for my own, for my own dice. I just think it's really cool. They're really neat. I don't know how they're weighted or anything or how that works, but they're in the shape of bullets, which is neat. And you can use them for like other Western themed games, which is cool too. So that's the dice from Tiny Epic Western.
That made me think of probably the biggest dice fail, and there's not really that many, so maybe the only dice fail that I've heard of in this hobby were those rocket dice for Alien Frontiers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my number four is, this had to be on there, Dice Forge. So this is a game where you build your dice, so you can pop off the sides and put new ones on, and they're quite large. And they did a really good job. They work well. They're easy to use, and they're fun to play with. So there you go. Dice Forge.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are really neat. My number four is Too Many Bones. So again, this is a game that has a whole bunch of dice in it. There are just dice for everything, for every character. You get a tray full of dice, which is really neat. And it's just, again, this is quantity over quality for me, because I don't know how, I don't actually own this game, but I played it a couple times, but there's, I can't remember how they used to put the dice on. They're not individually engraved. There's like, it's like a sticker, but it feels better than your typical sticker. Like, it feels like it'll withstand a lot. So that's, I think that helps, but there are just, yeah, probably hundreds of dice in this game, and they're all different for whatever character you have, which is really neat. So that's why I have that one on here. Yeah, there's a lot of dice in it.
That sounds good.
Yeah, all the dice, baby.
Yeah, all the bits. All right, my number three is Sentient. This is not a well-known game, I don't think.
That's a math game?
Yeah, I think that's probably why, because everyone calls it the math game.
The math.
Which, I mean, it is, but I mean, it's not crazy. But the dice on here, again, chunky, colorful, and they have that, like, computer chip kind of style, you know, futuristic, techie feel to them. They're gorgeous. Just gorgeous. I wish you could roll them more in the game. But I really, really like them, and that's, Sentient. Great game.
Not Sentient.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk about my number three really quickly. You've already mentioned it, Michelle. That's Dice Forge. for everything Michelle said, that satisfaction you get about snapping them. The first time I played the game, I was like, oh, my fingers are way too big for this. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. But I've played a few times since, and it's just so satisfying to snap. And once you get the hang of taking them out, it just feels so good. I love that snap. And then the dice are really cool once you have them built and get to use them. So Dice Forge, my number three.
Good choice. All right, my number two is Dinosaur Island. So I wish these were engraved. They're just screen printed. But again, I mean, I just keep saying the same thing. Big chunky dice, custom dice.
Yep.
But these are, and they're like that. I don't know. What is that? Like the fossilized like amber or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're that color. And I just thought that was such a brilliant choice. And they are very, very big. So they deserve a number two spot on the most interesting top 10 of all time.
Gosh. All right. My number two is, I forgot about Dinosaur Island 2. Oh my God.
Oh, you suck at this.
I know. My number two is, I'm guessing it might be someone's number one, but I don't know. My number two is Seasons. Seasons, I'm sure Michelle will probably talk about it more.
What?
Even though it's a game that I'm on my third time owning. The dice are so amazing. They're just so big and chunky, and that they have their, all the different symbols. They're not just basic D6s. They're big and chunky. They have pips 1 to 6. Seasons. They're really nice, and the colors are gorgeous too of them. I love how vibrant they are. That's Seasons. It's my number two. What's your number one, Michelle?
Seasons. Good guess, Sean. Well done. Yeah, for all the reasons you said, and some of it is certainly nostalgia. This was one of my most played games when I first got into the hobby. So, certainly some nostalgia there. And I love how in the two-player game, it all lines up around the middle. So when you have around that central board, it just looks so good. Yeah. Great game. Great dice. Super chunky. Lovely. Seasons. My number one.
Nice. Any guesses what my number one is? You have already talked about it.
Quantum. King of Tokyo.
Yes.
King of Tokyo.
Yeah. King of Tokyo. So, similar to what Michelle said about Seasons being her number one, I have a feeling King of Tokyo might be a little bit of nostalgia on here. It was probably... I feel like King of Tokyo and Zombie Dice are like my two initial experiences to engraved dice. Like, really, like, unique dice that are different than other ones. And between... I love, like, especially those black dice. The black dice with the green on them is really nice. I love how that pops. And it's just, it means a lot to me because it was one of my first quote-unquote hobby games, even though it's not really that much of a hobby game anymore. It was one of my first experiences too, and I still have it. I don't play it that often, but the dice are just amazing. I always tell people, like, have a look at King of Tokyo, have a look at the dice, because it really shows you what cool, interesting components are in games now.
For sure. Was that one of the first, like... big chunky dice games that in Seasons?
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Did you have any runner-ups or
Dinosaur Island? Roll for the Galaxy is on my short.
Yeah.
Again, though, those dice are a bit small for me.
Yeah.
And I think some of mine actually have like started to rub off, and it's not like a game I've played maybe 10 times, but I feel like it's rubbed off a little bit. But still, I love all the different dice and the different colors you have in there is really cool. That was my big like one. Should I put this on? Should I not put this on? Although Dinosaur Island should go on there too.
Yes, definitely.
Memoir 44 was another one I was thinking of with the wooden dice as well. So I don't know if they still have them. I think it might just be the earlier versions of Memoir 44 had wooden dice. And I don't know. I think I have a thing for wooden dice, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah.
They are nice. For sure. Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at a picture because I've never played the game. Those are nice.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, Sagrada.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was lots of pretty translucent dice. I mean, it's just nice. And then the other one I wanted to put was Lorenzo. There's only three dice, but they're huge and they're wood. And and it's one of my favorite games. And they're good dice. And I remember, I think it was like when we were doing like our beta episode. I remember talking about them. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some nostalgia there as well. But those almost made the list for me.
That's fair.
Yeah. I've never played the game, but I recall seeing the dice. They're really nice. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. I do want to play it Monday.
On the list.
On the list. Yeah, put it on the list, right? All right. Let's move on.
Oh, this is a sad one to do a sound effect too, because there's no baseball.
I know. I've been going through so much baseball withdrawal.
I know.
Like, it's been crazy.
Hey, just make the sound effect already.
Next up. Batter up. There you go. This is our next stop where we talk about games we're excited for.
And hey, I have a good kind of transition-ish, so I'll go first.
Okay.
So my next up, which actually things have changed with it. I think it's actually might be out or coming out like very soon now. But that's King of Tokyo Dark Edition.
Ooh.
And I was a lot more excited initially, like when I had this, when I was thinking of I wanted to do this game. I still kind of am excited, but it is a quote unquote collector's edition, but it doesn't really seem like there's that much collecting about it. But it takes the dice are really cool. Speaking of dice in it, they're like, I don't know, like creamish and like a translucent black with like gold on them, which is really neat.
Where are you seeing this?
I'm the geek.
I can't find it. Oh, there they are. Ooh.
Ah, right. They look like candies almost.
Those look great.
Yeah, so I think it's very similar to regular King of Tokyo, but you get the monsters get some more power in it. I really like the aesthetic though of it, like the dark. It's just basically blacks and greens and yellows in it. So I like the aesthetic of it. I like the dice. I like the art. It's similar art to previous, but it's a lot more kind of like, you know.
Do you think Chris Quilliams is looking at this and being like, seriously, no one like Blackout Hong Kong, but we can have King of Tokyo Dark Edition?
I'm just thinking that. It's like they probably did with the board what they should have done with Blackout Hong Kong. It's just added a little bit of pop of like silver and green and yellow to it.
Yeah.
To make it. That's what this is doing, really. That's all it is. It's like black, but then they're adding some color to some of the surrounding stuff to it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, King of Tokyo Dark Edition, which I think yellow moved up the release date quite a bit for it. I don't know if it's going to be like in short supply or how it's going to work because it's a quote unquote collector's edition, but I watched an unboxing and there's like nothing aside from like the colors. There's nothing like making it collectors. So, but.
Well, it says deluxe components such as an embossed box.
Ooh.
And lightning bolt shaped energy. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Those do look really cool. I saw them on the unboxing. I forgot about those. They look really neat.
Oh yeah. Look at that. Cute. Cool. Next up is a pipeline expansion, which doesn't have an entry yet. At least the last time I checked, there wasn't on BGG, but it's in the forums. And the designer says it will contain, among other things, new upgrades, valuation cards, and variable player powers, which is cool.
That's neat.
I imagine it's a long ways away, but I do like Pipeline, and I'm interested to see what else there is. I do like the idea of variable player powers. And the rest kind of sounds like more of the same thing, just increasing variability. Not that that game doesn't have variability, but, you know, I like expansions with more things and just curious to see what he does with it. Oh, here it is. Shooting for summer of 2020, but no official announcement yet.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? So there you go. Pipeline expansion. Everybody's just super excited. You're welcome for making your day.
Oh, dear. You think a lot of yourself.
No, I think a lot of Pipeline. I think a lot of the games I like. Not.
You just said, I think a lot of you, Sean. That's what you should say.
Oh, okay. Well, next time.
Please,
as my daughter likes to say, well, another day.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, before we close out the show, we want to say thanks again to our amazing listeners and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. And, you know, with everything happening, we hope you're all staying safe and healthy. And we're sending our bits love your way.
Yes, all the bits love.
All the bits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next time you're playing with someone who has AP, be it online or in person, mm-hmm. may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
We did it. We did an episode number 58. You feeling me?
Keep going. I'm feeling you, brah. Brah.
Brah. Brah.
Brah.
Hey, brah.
All right.
All right, then.